February the 1st on the Trail of Fire tour, and we are leaving Hamilton, Alabama on our way to the big town of
Demopolis
to see our good friends Eric and Angela Johnson. And man, what a phenomenal month it has been. We've been wanting to kind of like do an update, and we figured we'd take the first update to kind of start our weekly roadcast. And so here's our rules. The moment we start, the camera rolls, the microphone rolls for half an hour, and it does not stop. So whatever we capture, we capture. No edits. And so whatever happens on the road, happens on the road, and you get to experience it with us. So just kind of imagine it like you are cruising down the highway with Daniel and Jenna Norris on the Trail of Fire tour. And so let me tell you something really quick that just happened. We're leaving Hamilton and get a phone call to the ministry. Jenna, tell everybody what happened.
Yeah, so literally we just got everything set up. We were pulling out and phone rings and it's the ministry. So I answered the telephone and it's a lady from South Carolina. And she is actually the Aglow prayer director for the state of South Carolina and is in the Columbia area, and somebody had sent her some information about the old rock altar that we had rebuilt and found again there in Seneca, which is where we kind of started our journey. And somebody had sent her some information about it, and she wants to take a group of ladies there tomorrow. So she was calling us to see if we could figure out if we could tell her about the location, where it was, she wants to go take ladies there and pray, and then she wants to bring needs there and, you know, bring a rock and maybe pick some up from the creek and take it with her.
I think that's incredible. Yeah. You know, because when we launched from there, you know, it was my hope that that story would kind of set the pace for what it is that we're wanting to do this year. Obviously, the entire year is not all about that rock altar, but that's the initiation place. And my prayer was that would become a rallying point for the state of South Carolina, for the upstate in particular. And already to see that people have visited the altar, people have watched the video, it's kind of beginning to take a life of its own. I mean, everywhere that we've been, people have looked it up. We were at Stone Mountain, Georgia. And as we are, you know, just spending a couple extra days in between two ministry trips, somebody that was camping right next to us, in fact, I had three people while we were there stop us and talk to us about what we were doing, but one in particular, already been on the site, had watched about the rock altar, was on their way to South Carolina and wanted to know where it was at.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And so it's neat that people are beginning to follow. I tell you, I mean, even the bus itself is its own kind of like ministry tool. Everywhere we stop, whether it's to gas up or whatever, people see it. It's like Trail of Fire. So, I mean, what is that all about? What's going on? And so it's been an incredible tool just to be able to share the gospel, to pray with people, and just to, you know, light a fire.
Yeah.
And so anyway, a month in, and it's been quite the journey. Jenna, tell everybody, I don't know, kind of like your impressions 1 month into living in confined space. We left 3,000 square feet, and now we're in 300 square feet in a house on wheels. What's kind of been your impression? What have you learned?
I don't know. I'm excited for the journey. And so I don't know if it's just the excitement and the anticipation of what God is doing that the space does not bother me. It's an adjustment for sure, but it's not like, oh my gosh, I have no space and I'm frustrated all the time. That's not how it is.
Right.
The kids have done really good. It's just been really neat how even God has used different people along our journey to really even touch and minister to our kids outside of the four walls so they can actually see the church, you know, what the church does. It's not just a building. It's not just where people come and worship, but like people outside of the church ministering to our kids. It's been really neat too.
Yeah, the story of what we've been doing has inspired a lot of people. And yeah. They come up to us and it's an interesting conversation because they say, man, your sacrifice inspires me.
Yeah.
And I look at them and say, it's not a sacrifice at all.
It's not.
Saying yes to the Lord is never a sacrifice.
It's a joy.
It's called obedience.
Yeah.
Today at the ramp, which is where we were at this past week, and I'll tell you about that and, you know, some of the other ministry places that we've been at. this morning during prayer, as Jacob Peterson is leading, he finishes up with a quote from David Livingston. And David Livingston is a missionary to Africa, one of the pioneers. In fact, he got so caught up in that pioneer spirit that he went back to Africa, you know, just to explore. And David Livingston said this. He said, whenever a king commissions a man and sends him into a foreign field, that's considered an honor. He said, how much more so if God Almighty commissions a man? How could that ever be considered anything at all to be a sacrifice?
Wow.
It's not a sacrifice, it's a joy. And so to have the family with us, day in and day out, not to have my little girl look at me and say, Daddy, why do you have to leave?
Yeah.
It's precious. And at the same time, to let them experience what we've gotten to see. It's been 1 month of being on the road. We started in Seneca, South Carolina, there at the Rock Altar. And then we left from there to go to God Invasion in Greenville, which is a fiery group of people that are contending for revival and awakening there in the upstate. And then leave from there and cruise down about 5.5 hours, though, in the RV that took, I think, more like 9.5.
I don't know. That was a long day. That was our first big trip in the
yes.
RV.
Yes.
So.
So maybe we need to, let's see, we want to talk about ministry, or we want to talk about some of the speed bumps on the road?
I don't know.
Let's talk about ministry first, and I'll share some of the speed bumps with
all
you.
Right.
So we get to Moultrie, Georgia, where we're going to spend a week. Our dear friends, Donnie and Cindy Lewis. And man, what a phenomenal just time we had with the Lord there at Moultrie. Hard to explain what took place. It was that we opened up that first service sharing about the Rock Altar. People were so touched and moved there in the altar. Night after night, the meetings grew. Met a, I believe, an 80-plus-year-old woman of God. Her name is Sister Bevins. She has served the Lord for over 50 years and has prayed for revival all 50 of those years. And this is what's neat about her story. She had gotten a hold of the book Trail of Fire, and she's prayed that she would have an opportunity to be in a meeting with us. And she goes onto the website. She's trying to figure out how to get in touch with us, find a schedule, where are we going to be. Maybe something might work out for her to be able to get there. And that next day, as she's praying and she's asking the Lord, you know, about being in a meeting with us, because she felt such a connection to the book, the stories, and what we're doing. And she opens up the Moultrie Observer, the local paper, and there in the paper is a story about us going to be in Moultrie, Georgia. And she said it was just the greatest thing. The Lord did not just answer her prayer, but to bring us to her own town, and then to see a move of God take place during that week.
And she was there every night.
Yes, she was. Got to speak with her on the phone the other day. She's partnering with us in the 300, which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Just a phenomenal, phenomenal woman of God, prayer warrior. You could feel the presence of the Lord on her. We saw so many things happen. There was one night, the glory of the Lord just came into the sanctuary, and I had not even given an altar call. In fact, I had put the microphone down and had walked away, and it just left it completely silent, and people just began to stream to the altar. And two people come up to me individually. One grabs me and says, pray with me. I'm suffering from addictions. I think he was addicted to some drugs. And, he's sharing what he's bound with. And I told him, I said, are you ready to leave it all at the altar? And he said, yes. And so I prayed him to salvation right there. I get up from that, and another man comes up to me and wraps his arms around me and tells me that, you know, I've been going to church, but I'm an alcoholic. I don't really know the Lord. I say I go to church, but the truth is I don't really. And I led him to Jesus right there at the steps of the altar. I love it. You always know when the presence of the Lord is there because he's drawing people into himself. And wow.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So we left Moultrie, and where did we go?
From Moultrie, we went to Pensacola, Florida.
Pensacola, Florida.
Yeah.
Those are familiar grounds.
Yes.
Both Jen and I went to school there.
Yeah.
Tell everybody about Freedom Church.
Oh, wow. Freedom Church was amazing. I think, and I'm sure you'll share more in just a moment, but the thing that really stuck out to me the most is that, for one, this was their third Sunday.
Yes.
Their third Sunday morning service, and the place was packed out Sunday morning and Sunday night. And the atmosphere and the energy that they have cultivated there, the culture of honor, to honor the presence of the Lord, was just amazing.
Yes.
To see and feel. And it wasn't just by the leadership team. It was throughout the congregation.
Yeah.
And I think that was one thing that really stuck out to me being there. And at the same time, watching the kids being a part and how integral they viewed the whole family unit as being part of the service, and watching kids worship and lay on their face and get in the presence of the Lord and pray for people. You had one little kid that followed you around and prayed with you as you were praying for people.
Yeah, I think he's about 9 years old, and as I'm going through and I'm just laying hands on people, he'd come over to me, put his hand on my back, and begun to pray. And I told him, I said, don't leave. And then his sister came and joined, and so I had two prayer warriors that were like 9 and 11 praying with me as we were laying hands and praying for adults.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal. We walk into the place in the middle of worship, you see 8-year-olds prostrate on the ground in worship, weeping and interceding for one another.
Yep.
The medium age of the church had to have been, I don't know, right at 30.
Yeah, I would say mid-30s.
Yeah, it was a really young church. Spiritually,
but very multi-generational at the same time. It wasn't just limited to that age
spiritually
group.
On fire,
yes.
And at the same time also a strong relational family community component.
Yes.
And that's so rare to see. Oftentimes in Pentecostal circles, we do a great job of cultivating a rich spiritual environment, but we're relationally weak. Or we tend to go the other side. We're incredibly relationally strong, but we're spiritually weak.
Right.
And to see a church that, you know, was on fire on both both fronts was refreshing. I would make that home in a heartbeat.
Oh, without a doubt. And you know, the cool thing is the places that we've gone so far, is you walk in and you already feel like you're at home.
Yes.
And that's cool because,
yes,
you know, we had never met the people there in Pensacola. We had never been here at the ramp. We knew a couple of people from the ramp, but had never been in the environment of the ramp. And but to walk in and just automatically feel like you're a part.
Yeah.
So if you're watching and you're in those areas, I would definitely make sure
you find
those churches and get connected. It's definitely worth it.
Yeah, the story that we did with Freedom Church, the interview with the pastors, is up on the website. And so I would encourage you to check that out, especially if you're in that region, that area. You definitely need to get over to Freedom Church.
Absolutely.
Same true at Moultrie, at Lakeside Assembly of God. And then this past weekend at the ramp.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, this is one that I've been looking forward to since July of last year. I've gotten to know Casey, who's now the pastor at Ramp Church, over the last couple of years. Phenomenal man of God. Phenomenal preacher. Boy can preach.
Yes, he can.
I mean, he can preach the house down.
Yes, he can.
But just a man of God, a man of prayer, and of presence. We've gotten to know him over the last couple of years, and he invited us to come over to the ramp last year, and so we were excited to be able to make that a part of the Trail of Fire. And how could you not? The ramp has touched the world.
It has.
Over the last, they started in 1998. I didn't know that. I knew that they had kind of launched, you know, the conferences and stuff in 2002 in their building facility that they're currently in, but it started in 1998.
Oh, wow.
And kind of out of that youth movement, you know, and conferences and Chosen and all the ramps, the winter ramps, the summer ramps, I mean, they just impacted tens of thousands of people and have left their footprint around the world. And then they launched the Ramp School of Ministry to train up a generation. So in other words, they gave them an encounter with the Lord, then they're discipling to send them out into the world. And then alongside of that, launched the Ramp Church. And so Hamilton's become a hub. And I have to admit, just seeing what they've done in Hamilton, they're literally saving that town.
Yeah, they are, without a doubt.
You know, to be able to go downtown and see the buildings that the ramp has purchased, and we're not talking of like taking things over. There's buildings that were dilapidated, falling down, nobody wanted, and they're taking those over, turning them into dorms, turning them into storefronts for businesses. You know, they're getting, you know, they're praying and moving into expanding the school and launching a campground for Camp Ramp. That you gotta love the rhyming there, right? Just phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. Sunday morning was on fire. People came to me for the last couple days just sharing how much that was pivotal. And then Monday to be with the students at the Ramp School of Ministry, I mean, words cannot describe what took place. There was no video, so you can't see it, but I'm not even so sure you could have captured it on video. I just started sharing one of the stories from the Brownsville Revival, and then we just moved into the altar. And I've got a picture that I'll post. The altar's just flooded with people on their face crying out and saying, God, use me.
Yeah.
God, use me. I was with Karen today, and she was showing me around Hamilton and all the things that they're contending for and believing for and believing God. You know, they definitely are not hitting comfortable. What they are doing is contending. And she's sharing with me, and Jenna hasn't heard this story yet, so she's going to hear it now for the first time. They just launched the Ramp UK in Manchester. And that came out of a couple prophetic words. She knew that she was supposed to be over in the UK. She's leaving the office. She tells her assistant, go ahead and book the tickets. You know, she's moving on this word. We're supposed to be there. And as they go to one of the buildings that they've just purchased, they're going to turn it into the female dorms, they're clearing out boxes. And as they're clearing out boxes, she notices this letter in one of the old boxes. And it's you know, likely been there since the 1980s, this letter. I mean, it's aged. And she opens it up. She had it. She showed it to me today. And in it, it says, and I'm paraphrasing it because I don't have it memorized, that we are waiting your arrival in Europe. And it says the Lord is sending you from the Ramp to launch a Ramp.
No.
Yes.
Wow.
It says that when you go, you'll meet a man across the street. And, you know, don't worry about the finances. Everything's already covered. The Lord has already made a way, and whatever you've seen, expect double. She shows me, it's aged. I mean, it's a letter that it had to have been sent. This was a building they had just purchased. They were cleaning it up. I mean, these boxes had sat in this, you know, vacant storefront for years. And here's this letter, and I've got a picture of it. It is, I mean, she said that. I said, my God, how could, there's no room to ever doubt that you are an assignment from the Lord and that He's already made the way. And they have literally stood on faith. You get around them and you recognize these are the kind of stories that I would hear my grandparents tell.
Yeah.
And you ask, where are these stories today? Well, I can tell you, Hamilton, Alabama.
Yeah.
And man, we are forever just humbled and honored that we got to be a part of what's taking place there. Just blown away. Got about 10 million minutes in our little roadcast here. And kind of to shift a little bit, road life. What are some of the things that we've learned?
Oh, we have a running list.
We do have a running list.
Which is quite funny that we have a running list. It's not just one thing. 1 week, it's something new every time you go out. The first thing is that when it's time to go and you're ready to pack everything up, it is not an easy process, and it is not a quick process.
No.
It's not like, hey, let's go, and you're out the road in 10 minutes.
Let's fire up the car and run on that. No, it's not jumping in the car in the driveway and driving away.
No, it's not.
We figure it's about an hour and a half.
At least, to get the kids taken care of, the slides put in, the things off the floor, things in the cabinets, tanks empty, attaching the car to the coat, but we're getting better at it. We're getting faster.
We are, but still about an hour and a half.
It's still about an hour and a half, but yep. Anyway, thankfully we've never had to pick up and move in a quick, you know.
No.
So that is helpful that we don't.
Yeah, those of you that have been following along the journey, you know that I mean, literally my first trip out, I put the coach in the ditch.
You did.
I hadn't even moved 100 feet, and already we've got it caught up in a ditch. Since that time, let's just run through a few things that we have had to deal with.
Let me see if I can find my little list.
One was, we're driving down Highway 11 on our way to leave South Carolina on our way to Georgia. So this is really the first trip out. This is the maiden voyage. Suddenly I get the picture of the Titanic in my head. I'm getting ready to get onto the interstate, and I decide to pull off of the highway into a gas station and just check to make sure everything is fine, everything's buttoned up, that the car is tight, that we're not going to lose it. In fact, I've learned that's incredibly important. I didn't do that on the way out of Moultrie. We pull in to get gas, and I look at the car, and one of the tires is now pulled off of the dolly by at least 6 to 7 inches.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, oh, dear God, I'm so thankful that that car did not come off on the interstate. Lucked up there. So we're on Highway 11. We pull off, and we pull in to kind of check everything, and I realize as soon as we pull in that though there was a way in, there was no way out.
Yep, that is very true.
And so we learned to be mindful of really looking through, just because it looks like there may be, because this one, it looked like there was a long stretch, but there literally was no way to be able to pull out. You had to back out.
Or turn around.
Yeah, there was nowhere to turn around. I mean, we literally were stuck.
Yeah.
And got fortunate enough that I was able to put it in reverse, and the car stayed tracked and actually went straight back. It's not supposed to do that. I've been told you can't back with these things on, and so it's not like we figured it out. We just got lucky.
Angels guiding the car. How about that?
We're in Stone Mountain, Georgia, and the toilet breaks.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
You never know how much you really appreciate a toilet until the only one you have breaks.
Yeah, it was gone.
With
five people.
Yeah.
It wasn't just broke. What I mean by broke is, for those who've ever been in a motorhome, it's not like your toilet at home that has like water. You flush it, the water goes down, and everything's eliminated. It's a toilet that's dry,
right?
And you can add water to it, but whenever you hit the little foot pedal, it adds water and it opens up a valve at the bottom, which lets everything just kind of fall into the tank. When I broke it, the valve stayed wide open.
Yes, it was not a pleasant smell.
So it literally, I mean, it's an open hole into the holding tank.
Yeah. It's like the worst porta potty you've ever smelled. I mean, it's, yeah.
So anyway, a quick trip up to Camping World.
Thankfully, there was one close enough. That
yeah, 45-minute journey up to Camping World. I got another toilet and changed it out. And apparently, it's a 25-minute change-out job, so.
You did good, babe.
I got that one. I made a no-no mistake, and I knew better. Had just gotten into Hamilton, and we're pulling in the RV into the RV spot. Jenna has taken the kids to go get something to eat real quick, and I'm letting out the slides and kind of getting everything set up. What I did not do was check to make sure all of the basement doors were shut, and I'm letting out the living room slide, and all of a sudden I hear ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch, and I'm thinking, oh no. I come outside, and one of the basement doors had swung open, and now the slide's on top of it. It's bending the metal and scratching it up. And it was so wedged on it, I couldn't shut it. I couldn't get it off of it. So I had to figure out, well, do you just run the slide out the rest of the way, or do you bring it back in? I chose to bring it back in. And so now not only do I have a dent in the side of the vehicle from when I ran it into the ditch, there's now a dented basement door from where I ran the slide out on it. Is there anything else that we've...
Well, the other thing that we were thinking about was hot water.
Oh.
Because when you get to a place, you know, and it has the place for you to hook up your water and stuff like that, you don't have hot water immediately. It takes a while for it to heat up. So, yeah, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, in fact, we forgot one day to turn on the hot water, and so we wake up the next morning planning on taking a shower, and the water's cold. And I think that night it was like in the 30s.
Yeah, it was like, it would have been painfully... Yeah.
So these are all little bumps on the road, but we're learning. It's been a month in.
Yeah.
You can see we can laugh about it now, which is good, and the kids have all enjoyed it. Let me finish up with this. I was reading in scripture the other day in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. The Bible says that Adam and God would walk in the garden together, and they'd have a conversation, they'd relate with one another. And Genesis 3, 8, the Lord asks a question. This is after Adam and Eve have sinned. And God comes into the garden and he asks, "Where are you? Where are you?" That stood out to me because obviously God knew where they were. He knew what had happened. He knew it was going to happen before it happened. But yet he still comes into the garden at that appointed time when he was used to meeting with Adam. I mean, you think about it, he knows what's taken place. He knows what's happened. He knows that Adam has sinned, that they're now separated, but yet he still comes down into the garden at that appointed time, and then he goes, "Adam, where are you? Where are you?" Adam has to answer and say, "We were hiding." "Why were you hiding?" "Because we were naked." "Who told you we were naked?" "Well, you know, Eve gave me the apple," and Eve says, the snake deceived me." To me, Genesis 3:8 is one of the loneliest, saddest expressions, but at the same time, to me, one of the most heartfelt, because out of that, what God expresses is his deep longing for relationship with us. And so often we are guilty of hiding. We are guilty of running. I mean, we fashion our own fig leaves. We fashion fig leaves of our careers, family, ministry, work, home life, responsibilities, chores. And what we neglect is that devotional life, the whole reason we were created. God longs to be with us. He wants to be with you. I think every day he still comes looking for us. And when he doesn't find us, he says, "Where are you? Where are you?" I mean, yes, he knows where you are. He knows where you're hiding, my friend. But yet still, he wants that relationship. It's the whole reason we were created. We were created for relationship with Jesus. And so I share that with you to encourage you. It's what I'm thinking on, musing on right now. All the different places and ways that I hide from him, and just trying to get back to that place of being comfortable being in his presence. What do you think about that, babe?
I think that's really powerful. And it's one thing when you read scripture that you've read, and then all of a sudden something gets highlighted in a way that you've never thought of before in that respect. And so to make that real personal is a powerful thing, to know that he longs for us.
Well, it's been 30 minutes, my friend, and that's our first roadcast. Not so bad. Nothing.
Kids have been great.
Nothing. Hey. Nothing bad has happened. Haven't run off the road.
No.
Didn't run to the back of anybody.
No.
So, thank you so much for just joining us. This is a journey we want to take with you. We really mean that. This is something that we are endeavoring to do together. Yes, we happen to be the ones on the road, but that doesn't mean you can't come join us on the road.
That's right.
And it certainly doesn't mean that you can't follow along in the journey at trailoffire.org. And so I pray you get signed up on the site. Know that we're praying for you. We're believing the best for you. I believe that this is a year of significant God outpourings. This upcoming month, we're headed to, right now, Demopolis, Alabama. This weekend, we'll be in Hurley, Mississippi. We'll leave Hurley, go right back up to Nashville, Tennessee, to Gateway Church. And then from Nashville, we're supposed to be in Arkansas. Looks like we have a hiccup in Arkansas. The church we were going to work with, their building is not going to be ready in time. And so we may not have any place to be at during that week. So if you know of any church in Arkansas that is contending for Revival and Awakening. Put us in touch with them. We'd love to talk. And then from there, we'll be in Louisiana at the Healing Place in Shreveport, and then at Dr. Remedios' church right outside of Alexandria. And so looking forward to being able to share more with you. We're learning as we go, and we're sharing it as we do it. So we love you. God bless. We'll see you on the road.
See you on the trail.